Blog Talk Radio.
One of my favorites. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope people join, and I'm glad you got to hear the whole song. And, of course, my player's not playing well. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host, coming at you from Oceanside, which is cloudy, dreary, and about 62 degrees. But we do have winter and rain, which we need desperately, which we'll get into later. Again, that's one of my all-time total favorites in the universe. So, if you can still hear me, yo, please type in, and hopefully others can try to get in. BTR can be a real pain. I had trouble getting my Skype to work with it because I'm like, oh, gosh, I couldn't see the call button. It's enough to make you crazy. Anyway, so again, oh, thank you. Thank you. And I just wanted to remind everyone, since it is about a week from Christmas Eve, where I will be busy as a beaver, I will be cooking and preparing and setting a formal table, and oy vey, I've got all kinds of stuff going on. But that will be one of the pieces played in our Christmas music, background music repertoire for the evening with my family. Should be about 10 of us, hopefully, hanging out, munching and enjoying and praising the Lord and in our own ways. I'm not sure, you know, a lot of us are good Christians and some are like agnostics, but, you know, what are we going to do? So, and I just wanted to remind us that in scriptures that he will be called counselor, wonderful, and he will be called the Prince of Peace, and it's just a great time of year. So I'm going to, with that, we have a beautiful reading from Scripture from Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So, and to answer Yola's question, no, I'm not going to, because when I get up, it's going to be from 10 in the morning till sometime in the night. So I can't do that show, although I'll be thinking of y'all, because our families have traditionally always done Christmas Eve. I don't know when it started, but as far as I can remember back, that's how it goes. I'm not sure who's coming in today. I would love to see the rest of the crew. If not in, of course, in archives, I've sent out messages to people in emails. I've done it on Facebook and Twitter today. So let's get to some of the craziness. I just wanted to start with a couple items. One is in the national level, of course, this nonsense about Jeb Bush. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, God save us. You know, another Bush, another Clinton, an Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, which I'll get to in a second. And yeah, y'all, there's no time. I mean, they're going to, by the time I would be on the air, they'd be sitting down to eat. So it's not going to happen. I'm setting a formal table. I've got the wine rack ready. I'm going to set up the bar. It's going to be like completely amazing. So I wish you guys could all be here, but we all live too far apart. So everybody's, yeah, I know, because it's going to be a beautiful garden salad with all kinds of dressings on the side. I'm going to have my homemade garlic bread, which is like to die for, and my homemade beef stew, and it's usually pretty scrumptious, and the kids are bringing appetizers and their own drinks, and I'll stock the bar a little bit with wine, and they're going to bring desserts, so it's going to be pretty cool. My decorations are up. The tree is gorgeous. I'm enjoying the lights, you know, this time of year, so yeah, so I'm sure you guys will have fun, you and Nick and everybody back there. So again, I'm surprised people aren't in the chat room, but I have a feeling they're either shopping or they can't get in. You know how that goes. So we will just wait and see. But I have plenty to cover if it's just you and me, yo. So the Jeb Bush thing, I just, you know, and then there's these polls on the internet saying that Romney could beat a Jeb Bush. And I'm like, oh, really? Is that my choice? I'll stay home that day. Just say, I'm not voting. Or I'll vote for my local council, but I will not vote for the general election. I will write in none of the above, or something, you know, ridiculous like Mao Zedong. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't even fathom a semi-communist like New World Order Jeb Bush with his Common Core and everything else, and his you know obviously socialistic views and New World Order views like his family. I can't even imagine it. And Mitt Romney, the only thing he knows how to do is make money for himself. God bless him. I think that's fabulous. But I just cannot. He's a loser. Let him stay in his 12,000 square foot fabulous home in La Jolla overlooking the freaking Pacific Ocean and be there with his family and do his Mormon thing. Leave us alone. Go away. Krispy Kreme Christie, you've got to be kidding me. I love Rick Perry as a governor, but I don't think he's fit for high office. If I have a choice, it's Ted Cruz, and my last choice would be Rand Paul, but the other one in between would be Scott Walker from Wisconsin. And those are my choices, so if they don't nominate them, Reince Priebus is going to hear from me. Actually, he should hear from me with a nuclear missile, but, oh, DHS, it's just rhetoric. I'm not serious. Oy, these people. Anyway, so I'm glad you have sound and you didn't have to call in this time, although I love to have people on my board, you know, to answer the calls. So I'm looking at Facebook and this MoveOn.org, which is, of course, George Soros, and every communist left, you know, left of left is on there. And they're talking about running Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So I made my comment, and I got a comment back from some libtard. I mean, there was like 25 people who were saying, oh, this is great. I think she'd be fantastic. You know, and she could fix the economy. And I'm like, oh, my God. And they're just like praising progressivism and all this stuff. And I said, oh yeah, that's, so my comment was, oh, that's what we need. We need, you know, another, you know, progressive socialist bunch of nonsense. And I said, if you think that the Obamas or the Clintons or this liberal left-wing fool is nothing short of a socialist at best, you are crazy. And then I mentioned that that they're further left than Omagot, and I just mentioned that, you know, this is this is not good. And so this chick's admonishing me for saying that apparently she's been brainwashed to think that the right side of the aisle is like just completely demonic, and the Koch brothers and the Lehman brothers and everything else and the Dodd-Frank and everything else. And I said, yes, I am educated, my dear. I said, just before we went on, I was responding to her calling me an uneducated person that I didn't know about the Dodd-Frank deal. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, I just don't like fascism on either side of the aisle. And they left it at that. So we'll see when the show's over what her response is. The other one was the appointment of this, I can't remember his name, but it starts with a V, the first name. I think he's the, oh God, what is it? He looks like he's from India or Pakistan or God knows where. The Surgeon General. That's what it was. Of course, left-wing communist Barry, Bathhouse Barry, is going to appoint somebody who doesn't like the Second Amendment. Well, since these idiots in the, in the Senate just confirmed this schmuck, who is a subversive in my book. And so I was commenting on Facebook and I said, because people were upset, the conservatives, of course, and libertarians are very upset, and I can understand that. And I said, look, I said, if your doctor sits there and asks you about your guns, look at him and pull out a copy of your pocket constitution and show him the Fourth Amendment and say, where is your warrant? If he persists, you get up and walk out. And on your way out the door, you look at him and say, I will find a physician who does not infringe upon my constitutional rights, and then leave. That's what I'm going to do. So my doctor better not, because he's one that likes to push all this crap, like, you know, all these inoculations and vaccines. Well, he can take his inoculations and vaccines and put them where the sun don't shine for me. Anyway, so here's another, I had to do this. I got to get through these today. So I got 45 minutes or better to do it. And this was in my local paper, and I'm getting all this from there over the last week. You should have seen me today. I took a whole hour just cutting out articles and picking out the best ones, but it's just been nuts here. It says, you're going to love this, the right to bear arms is greatly outdated. And I go, really? Well, his name is George Dill. Editorial letters to the editor, and he's in Escondido, which is normally conservative, but this guy, his last name says it all. I will add that George Dill is a dillweed, and it says, you're going to love this. This is kind of liberalism I deal with in California. What about well-regulated militia? Do you people not understand? So obviously he's been brainwashed. I was in nukes in the Army, so why can't I bear a suitcase size small nuke? Nice little sticker on the side saying, "You mess with me, you are vaporized." This is his logic. Hand grenades are arms. Chemical, biological, and radiological weapons are usually small enough to be arms. You give the right to an idiot to buy a gun. I want to buy a little sarin gas to protect myself from you people. Duck hunting with a 50 caliber machine gun, oh my God, is about the same as duck hunting with sarin gas. And then he goes on, and this guy's an idiot. Ye of small minds, wake up. Stuff written by 18th century slave owners may need modification in the 21st century. Really? I don't think so, you schmuck. Why don't you go to, in a time machine, don't go back to the 1700s, just go back to 1936 Germany and go hang out with those people and see what you think about people that get their guns taken away from them, you dumb schmuck. Anyway, so here's one. This is a good one. This was somebody in Encinitas, which is normally a libtard place in my area, but he was correct on the climate change predictions, and his heading is, "So many dire climate predictions failed." It says, you got to give the alarmists credit with their doomsday scenarios. He was citing this global warming, another editorial, is a fact, and its impact will be devastating to every aspect of our lives and our civilization. No, Bob Bratton, Agenda 21 will be devastating to our lives and our civilization. Idiot. Anyway, they've been spouting this stuff for decades. Who can forget in 1923 when Professor Gregory of Yale University stated that another world ice epoch is due and will wipe out Canada, or Harvard biologist George Wald in 1970. Civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind, end quote. How about Michael Oppenheimer, Princeton professor of geosciences and climate activist in 1990, in his book Dead Heat? And I'm quoting, "The greenhouse effect desolating to the heartlands of North America and Eurasia with her horrific drought," and that, you're going to love this one, "The Mexican police will round up illegal American migrants surging into Mexico seeking work as field hands." And he says, I could go on, but you get the picture. Anyway, so I just thought you'd get a choice laugh out of that one. And I'm going to bring in Bill. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well.
What, did you hear the last article I just read on the climate change?
Yes, I did. I'm sitting here, and I've heard all that stuff before, and I've had to laugh, and I have to laugh now because what they were telling us 8 years ago has fell on its face today, yet they still persist in pushing the doing the Alinsky, telling a lie,
oh,
so people accept it as truth.
Well, okay, for the last 16 minutes, you got to go back into the archives and check it out, because I had some fun stuff. I opened with Mary, Did You Know, and Scripture, so you're going to love it. Just a little bit. Hi, Bill. Thank you for joining Yola, Bill Strong. We got Bill Baya. We got Mikey B from Higher Truth Radio. I'm super happy you guys finally got in. Like I said, the first 15 minutes you guys will enjoy, so I'm going to go through this stuff because I need to get through this. It's overwhelming, as you can imagine, and we talked about that a little bit yesterday, but you should see this stack. I'm just hoping I have enough time to do it. I know I need an hour and a half show. I'm sorry, Mike. I messed up. Anyway, this says inland checkpoints challenge. Well, I've been through this a few years back, because it's been going on, now that I know this, because I'm reading all this stuff, about 40 years in our West area. And it's ridiculous. So apparently there's going to be some upheaval on this, and I hope that they can overturn this nonsense. It says, the opponents say detainment searches not legal at Border Patrol outposts, which are, Yola says, hi, Bill Strong on the phone. Hi, Mikey. Hi, Bill. Anyway, so everyone's saying hi to everybody. Okay. It says, there are at least 4 Border Patrol checkpoints in the county, our county, including this one, it's in I-8, it's going east. These are east to west near Pine Valley, which is out there from me. Some drivers don't cooperate. Arguing stops are unconstitutional. Anyway, so just briefly, I'm going to go through the whole thing because this thing went on for days, but I'm keeping the articles in case I get a chance to bring them in my suitcase when we come to Indiana one of these days. It says, Don Tran and Chad Ivey's drive from San Diego was uneventful until they halted at a Border Patrol checkpoint near Yuma. This is where this happens. Because I was out there, but it wasn't so sophisticated. It was like this one lone dude out there in a Border Patrol car. Then this November 2013 trip turned into a nightmare. Although both men are U.S. citizens, they were repeatedly questioned, then locked in a cage while agents rummaged through their through the 1999 Mercedes sedan. An hour later, the travelers were released. Nothing illegal had been uncovered except Tran maintains the Border Patrol's actions. He said, I was outraged. He's a former IT engineer with San Diego's Medipac. They illegally searched my car. The Border Patrol operates a national network of internal checkpoints halting motorists up to 100 miles inside the country's boundaries. While the checkpoint stated goal is to apprehend unauthorized immigrants, oh, really? That's a joke. Critics argue that agents also stop and search law-abiding American citizens without justification. On YouTube, a series of videos shows protesters refusing to answer agents' questions. Usually, these encounters end with the travelers sent on their way. In at least two cases, though, agents smashed car windows and forcibly removed the drivers. I've seen those videos. So, it says, anyway, these are the libertarians, and I'm not going to give the rest of the quote because I have to go into the other long article, but I'm telling you, this is, like, amazing. I'm sure you guys have seen some of this stuff or have seen some of the videos, but I just wanted to get into
with
that. What do you think, Bill?
With our drug problem coming across the southern border, I can understand why they're stopping and searching these vehicles.
No. This is going east to west and west to east. This is across country. This has been a bone of contention for people who love the Constitution and freedom for a long time. I'm not kidding. There's no reason to have papers, please, when you're that far away and you're going to Yuma from San Diego. No. These guys are falling right into the Gestapo camp of our militarized police situation, and we're done with it. Welcome, Cal.
Our police situation is going to continually get worse. Keep an eye on New York, because I don't think they're going to put up with that mayor very long.
Oh, did you see that? I don't know if you, I think I read it on the internet or somewhere in my newspaper. It was all over Facebook. And the police there do not want Comrade de Blasio at their funerals. I thought that was cool. Well, they voted for the, just like we have Benito Brown, you know, Mussolini Jerry. it just astounds me. Okay, so the next one, because of we read the one, I don't think you got to hear, but this was in response to this idiot who thinks that that the founders were stupid in having the Second Amendment. Well, that person in Escondido can take his ideas and move to Australia where they don't have guns. Maybe he'd like it there. Idiot. Anyway, this editor... Go ahead.
They didn't have guns in Australia.
The criminals.
Oh, everybody.
Well, they banned them. That's why they had all the articles about it. There was all kinds of stuff going on there. I can't remember who was speaking on it. I think there was stuff on the internet about a year ago about these. They confiscated all their guns. They don't have their rights anymore. It's over. So anyway, it says gun safety needs to be part of the discussion. This sounds like somebody who obviously has been to some training classes. It says, San Diego author Craig Collins observes, Thunder examines gun culture without going ballistic, December 7th. That's another article. that when it comes to airline safety, America is absolutely the leader in the world. Well, they're not. I think it's Israel. And when it comes to gun safety, we are absolutely at the bottom of the heap, and that means training, good training. Kerr, but try including gun safety in grammar school curriculum where it might actually save young lives. Michael Bloomberg and Dianne Feinstein would throw a national conniption fit, and that's the end of his thoughts, and I thought, yes.
The country with the lowest crime rate in the world, every citizen is mandated to have a gun.
Is that, was it Sweden? I can't remember.
It's one of the Norwegian countries.
Right. Anyway,
they have the lowest crime rate in the world, but they mandate that every one of their citizens has to go to, you know, they have to learn and stuff, but they have to own a gun.
You know, I got to tell you on that. Okay. Just quickly, I want to, when in California, we have pretty strict stuff going on, and I know there's other states that do the same thing. So when I got my handgun, and even when I went to go to this brand new shooting range in Poway, they made me go through like 2 full pages and answer questions on this test about gun safety, which I understand is their establishment. They want to be safe there. But, I mean, I had to do the whole 9 yards. I had to pass the test, pay for the test. I had, you know, there was more registration fees and stuff than you could shake a stick at in this dang stupid state. But, I mean, I got good lessons. And when I went to Iron Sights for my first shooting with, you know, target practice, the people there would help us. They would answer questions. There was one guy, he says, hey, you guys want to have a quick free, you know, 15-minute, show you how to use your sights and all that stuff and really hold that gun right. And I says, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, that's a good thing. I think you have to be responsible. You have to be very common sense. You know, you have to respect what that thing can do. It's designed to kill and maim. That's what it's designed for and nothing else, or to protect you. But, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot and don't aim it anywhere you don't want to destroy something. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. That's a responsible thing to do as a gun owner. And by Christ, they better not try to take my guns away. I don't care. Because, you know, say what?
You have met Chad's son?
Yes. Yes.
Devin got a deer last weekend.
Good.
That's the third year in a row he's got a deer. So he's been doing this since he's about 12.
Right. How old is he now?
15.
Okay. Well, you know, what kind of rifle did he use?
He doesn't use a rifle in Indiana. You have to use a shotgun or a bow.
Oh, but he really?
He uses a 410, I think it is, or a 20 gauge. One of the two.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of ammunition? Was it like a slug?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
You know,
all right.
But that's our culture here. Our kids are taught at young ages how to hunt.
Sure.
And to be any good at hunting, you have to know how to sight, and you have to know a lot of
sure.
other things. As you're learning, you know, there's a lot more to a gun than just pointing it.
Oh, absolutely. I know how to clean mine. I've cleaned mine several times. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know how to load and unload. I know how to do my safeties. You know, I can hold it correctly, the stance. And I mean, I was taught by some really good people, so fortunately.
It's not the gun that's the problem. It's the person who has the gun.
Exactly. Well, anyway, I try to be as very responsible.
Go. Most crimes that are committed with the gun, the gun's either been stolen or
right.
something, but it's not
black market.
It's not a legal gun.
Right. So, and I'm going to give you a little bit of good news. There was one person in Carlsbad, which is, you know, I think Carlsbad has, like many cities here in California and North County, we have like a myriad of libtards and a myriad of some conservatives. So this looks like a conservative to me and a good Christian. It was really cute. It says, gender equality is a Christian imperative. Regarding Warren Dunn's letter, Turkish leader made his position known. That was November 30th. As a woman, I'd like to remind Mr. Dunn that my textbook for life contains an Old Testament and a New Testament. the Muslim president of Turkey would probably not acknowledge the following words about Jesus, who was the literal embodiment of Old Testament fulfillment. In Galatians 3, verse 28, Teacher Paul states, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This is the ultimate equality. And I agree with her 100%. I like that one. So let's go. Let's see where we got. Okay. We got tons of stuff today. So, and I only have a half an hour. I'm sure I'm not going to get through it all, but it's a lot of fun to try. Here's one of the wonderful, what do you call, unforeseen, except for people who've done their homework, problems with the ACA or Obamacare. It says, this is here in California, school aides want hours because they're not going to get enough hours to get their health care paid for by the employers. Now, this is right here in Encinitas and San Marcos, very close to me. It says, part-timers also negotiating for benefits in Encinitas and San Marcos. School districts in Encinitas and San Marcos are locked in labor negotiations with an employees union that wants health benefits and more work hours, listen to this, for instructional aides, the frontline workers who help students with special needs. Okay. The talks come as the result of growing concern over high turnover rates for part-time aides and new Obamacare rules beginning January 1st that mandate health care benefits to employees who work more than 30 hours a week. In many school districts, instructional aides are part-time workers who log about 15 to 20 hours a week and don't qualify for health benefits. Who didn't see this coming, Bill? it says the California school employee. Go ahead.
Wait till that employer mandate is put into effect.
Oh, I know. That's going to be fun. That's what they're talking about. The California School Employees Association, which represents classified workers ranging from, hold on a sec, this is crazy, bus drivers and gardeners to nutrition workers, is pushing the Encinitas Union School District and San Marcos Unified School District, you notice all these unions in there, to offer more hours and benefits to hundreds of aides as a way to stabilize a workforce that they say is in turmoil. Now, whose fault's that? Quote, these people are living in poverty, said Scott Hendries, a CSEA, that's the California labor relations negotiator in San Diego and Imperial Counties. There are people out there trying to make a living for a family and providing food, and they can't. It's a really a sad situation. District officials acknowledge there are challenges. A fifth of the instructional aides in the Encinitas District reassigned at the end of last year, moving to better-paying jobs, says Angelica Lopez, assistant superintendent in charge of administrative services. Quote, the turnover problem, you're going to love this, is a real concern, she said. We are always in a hiring mode. Well, really. The aides work with kids who have individualized educational plans or IEPs and need special assistance. Some of those students may be autistic, have Down syndrome, or have severe learning disabilities. A high turnover rate doesn't allow for strong relationships with IEP students, said Lopez, whose district employs about 100 instructional aides. Since July, she said, the district has conducted at least 4 to 5 rounds of interviews with 60 candidates to fill job openings. San Marcos Unified School officials did not return phone calls this week seeking comment on the negotiations. I wonder why. Still reeling from years of recession and state budget cuts, school districts are under pressure to keep spending under control. Adding increasingly pricey health benefits for hundreds of workers would be a major expense, which is true. For that reason, part-time aides make more economic sense. The CSEA chapters in Encinitas and San Marcos want aides to get at least 6 hours of work daily, giving them access to more coverage under the ACA or Obamacare. In the San Marcos district, the 3-year contract with CSEA Chapter 4 2013, expired June 30th. It covers about 1,100 workers, including about 700 part-time workers, roughly half of whom are instructional aides who don't receive health benefits. The remaining 350 part-timers are food service, security, transportation, office, gardeners, nutrition, and other classified workers who also don't get health care benefits. Boo-hoo. In the Encinitas District, the three-year contract with SEA Chapter 493 expires June 2016 and covers roughly 250 workers, including just under 100 instructional aides. The two sides are negotiating a change in the existing contract to grant some benefits to instructional aides, according to the CSEA official and this Lopez lady. Lopez says her district has told the union it may be willing to give 40 instructional aides 6 hours of work each day, and some aides, as some aides resign, other aides could pick up the extra work and get the health care benefits in the process as they reach the 30-hour work week threshold. Oh, that's going to be great for California. Oh, God. The sticking point, however, is that the district doesn't want to pay for family coverage, and I don't blame them. Both sides are worried about the declining supply of qualified instructional aides who must have taken at least 48 semester hours at college or earned an associate degree. The labor pool for aides was buoyed during the recession when teachers who were laid off took jobs as aides, as did college graduates who couldn't find full-time teaching posts. As the economy has improved, I don't know where they're getting that, many workers have moved on to full-time teaching jobs, according to this lady. So that's where we're up against in that mess. And on it goes. So go ahead.
I think you could pay for those things if you took money away from the richest people in Congress, which would be, and the Senate, which would be California's congressmen and senators.
Well,
they have more millionaires holding office than anybody.
Well, outside of D.C., maybe. Yeah. Anyway, so this was another editorial, and it was funny because on the heels of this one, which was about 3 days later, I'm just going to go through these because I want you guys to see what I'm dealing with in California. It's insane. And I know that other states have, the blue states have the same situation. It says, teachers need to be honest on the unions, the teachers' unions. That was the headline. It says, this editorial page is critical of the California Teachers Association and the California Federation of Teachers. Can you believe these words? This prompt bafflement, anger, and disappointment among many individual teachers. Your narrative about public school teachers is totally off base, a veteran history teacher wrote in a recent email. Many individual teachers are wonderful, inspiring people who deserve admiration and respect, and I get that. But that simply doesn't extend to the California Teachers Association and the California Federation. As outlined in the weekend Union Tribune watchdog story about deeply troubled local teachers who basically can't be fired, these unions have used their power to shape state laws in a way that hurts students and society in general, and that's true. The case of a science teacher, you're going to love this, whom the San Diego Unified School District said used racially derogatory language and got erections while watching females in his class was typical. Not only did the teacher not get fired, he got 30 months paid leave and an agreement that San Diego Unified would provide only neutral information to other districts considering hiring him. Great. So it's like the priests, they cover it up. Many of the targeted teachers assert that the claims are invented or trumped up by vengeful students or administrators. Yet the evidence from around California instead suggests such attempts to hold teachers accountable are very rare because of the extraordinary cost. This was one reason Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Rolf Trejo ruled in June that tenure laws that had the effect of funneling the worst teachers into schools in poor communities was so harmful to minority students that they were unconstitutional. Well, I don't like his premise, but they may be. Trejo's decision is being appealed by the state. But even if it is thrown out, that doesn't mean the problems he cited aren't real. It's time for an open debate about how to make it easier to get rid of teachers who shouldn't be in any classroom because of mental issues, incompetence, or moral turpitude, and the debate should be led by the unions. That's what might happen in a normal state in which everyone could agree that students' needs are as important as teachers' rights. Instead, the Mark Burnt case tells you all you need to know about California's warped status quo. LA Unified officials felt they had no choice but to pay the Miramonte Elementary School teacher $40,000 to quit after evidence emerged that Burnt had, listen to this, had fed semen-laced food to his students. And the discipline reform bill enacted by the legislature in response to the scandal, it actually provided even stronger protections than before to teachers accused of misconduct, including the guarantee that they don't have to answer school officials' questions about their actions. Great, huh? That's life in the Golden State. An investigation showing a teacher committing one of the most vile acts imaginable leads to a law that increases the protections according to such classroom perverts. This sort of indefensible union power play is what should incense teachers, not newspaper editorials that criticize such tactics and their awful effects on students. And then on the heels of this one, it says bad teachers often paid to resign. They pay them to resign. This is how they it's like bribery, you know, mafia. It says local cases show termination process so difficult and costly that settlements are offered to make them go away. It's going to do this really briefly. One teacher offered a minor $300 to have sex, and another brought a loaded gun to school, their employer said. A third was accused of standing by as a student was assaulted during class, laughing and calling the assailant sweetie. Great. This is California. These are the hard case files of education in San Diego County. Are instances out of a workforce of 24,000 whose days overwhelmingly go well and do more good. To shed light on the teacher termination process, that's part of a national debate on education reform, this paper's watchdog obtained documentation for 12 county firings disputed to the state level from January 2013 through September of this year. The most common outcome among the 12 cases was that the district settled in advance of a state hearing, agreeing to provide months of unearned pay leave as an incentive for the teacher to leave voluntarily. This happened in 10 out of the 12 cases. We have found teacher dismissal cases difficult to win, lengthy, and expensive, said Ms. Cromer, spokeswoman for San Diego Unified School District. So it goes on to the other remaining. But this is what you're up against with these people. It's just, I don't even know where to go. Have any comments?
I'm flabbergasted.
It's what I live with.
If that kind of stuff happened here, the teacher would think that jail would be the safest place they could be because the parents would be after them.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, my dad taught, he was up in, I know, it's craziness, and I'm sure in places in the Deep South there'd be somebody be trying to find their bodies, but somewhere in the hills. But, my dad worked in California. He's gone now almost 5 years. But he was like 2 weeks shy of being 89 and had a beautifully long life and very, very productive. Wonderful husband and father, great school teacher for 28 years. And believe it or not, in fact, back then we had a right to work state. He did not join the teachers union. He refused to and told them where to stick it. And he was a conservative his whole life. So, and I know Mikey B's going nuts, but he was probably more libertarian or you know, Ben Franklin than the others. But, you know, and he taught people, if he saw this going on today, his head would explode. So I'm glad he's not have to be here to see it. I mean, it would just, especially, what do you call it, with the perversion and the common core and the nonsense and the lying and the gender bender, and it's just, it goes on and on and on, and the common, it's horrible. And the commie core, I call it commie, I'll just be right out front with it. I don't play anymore.
And here we are having the establishment of the GOP trying to shove a common core supporter down our throat.
Oh, God. Well, let me tell you something. I don't think, you know, Willard Mitwit Romney is going to be, would be any better. And why the hell would he want to run again? Like I said, stay in La Jolla in your 12,000 square foot mansion overlooking the ocean in La Jolla, which is one of the most prestigious places in the damn West Coast. I mean, bar none. There's no better views. I don't care where you're at. You know, unless you're like Michael Savage and you love San Francisco because you're into boating, you know, sailing, whatever. Holy smokes. I mean, I can't take it. We got all these schmucks and you have viable, wonderful people. And do you think that idiot Priebus is going to help a person like Ted Cruz or Scott Walker be the nominee? Oh, they'll fight us tooth and nail. Idiots.
They got to protect the ones that they're invested with.
Well, it's not just that, Bill. I think it's not just money. This is power. This is totalitarian.
Oh,
power.
Exactly. You and I both know that both sides have been working towards Agenda 21. Not just one side, but both sides.
Well, I know. I know.
Because they feel, certain ones of them feel that they are elite and the rest of us are less than them, mm-hmm. and they should have all the power, all the wealth, and the rest of us should have to do their bidding.
Pretty nuts. I've got another one. They had, I can't remember what day this was, but this, the headline was earthquakes and fracking. You know, the fracturing for drilling for oil and natural gas and all that. It says alarmists leave out plenty. Well, the synopsis of this is, what won't do any good, however, is mindlessly demonizing fracking. Indeed, if activist hysteria fuels the creation of anti-fracking public policies, the economic effects would be devastating. This technique already supports over 2 million American jobs, and the continued expansion of the oil and gas industry could create millions of new employment opportunities and billions in new growth over the next decade. Bad laws would kill off this bounty. Fracking is an economic godsend. Let's not let baseless hysteria crush it. And that's...
But fracking is making oil cheaper and gas prices.
Oh, I know.
And it's working against the investments of those that are invested in the carbon exchanges and the green energy, you know, like Pelosi and Boxer and Feinstein.
Oh, yeah.
California, like Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett on the global carbon exchange deal. You know, these people are doing nothing but trying to steal the wealth to put give to themselves. The same people that's always saying share the wealth. Have you ever noticed that they're the ones that are accumulating wealth? The Van Joneses?
No. Okay. Well, look. I have to next week. I got to do a little bit more homework on this. But when we, what do I have to explain? When we start quoting people like Karl Marx and going through the Communist Manifesto, we need to give credit where credit's due, and we need to vilify those where it really should be done. Okay, Ulysses. But for some reason they can't. The elective surgery. I got to go back up. I got to pull up. Okay. Cuomo has said that Medicaid will now pay for transgendered surgeries. Though for others, there is no way they pay for elective surgery. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. It is elective. They're all nuts. Cuomo is probably as nuts as Comrade de Blasio. I don't know. I got the same thing here on the left coast. I've got Benito Brown, you know. I mean, I've got them all. And they keep voting for this stuff. I wanted to go. We did have some good news, and then there was like this quasi-good news. I'm just going to go through this really quickly, and then we'll go into – there was one recently, U.S. Supreme Court may consider the water shift from smelt to humans. You know about the, what do you call it? I'll do this one. The Delta smelt. It's been going on for, what, 6 years or better? And Boxer, Frankenfeinstein, Piglosi, and all the left, you know, and the global climate change, Agenda 21, Schmendrix, have been pushing this, and they shut the water off, you know. And they dried up the beautiful San Joaquin Valley. Yes, yes.
And then
so
it started drying up and tried to blame global warming.
Oh, I know, I know. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Mike, I just want to do Mikey's thing. It says, we need to get together and hire the lawyers Hobby Lobby hired to, and sue the government for exemption status on Obamacare and the federal income tax based on moral issues. Good idea, Mikey. Hooray.
Well, we're at
where do I sign?
Sue the government for aiding and abetting a foreign invasion.
Oh, God, I know. Well, somebody ought to just take somebody out with a, I don't know, one of those things that Draven was using on the buck. Did he get a doe or a buck?
I think it was a doe.
I think he got a doe.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, as long as it worked and everything was going good. So, anyway, so this one talks about, it says, clearest mandates in November's election was for securing California a reliable water supply. It talks about Prop 1, which is the water bond. Oh, God, $7.5 billion. Anyway, they passed it with six. This is on the referendum. This passed. For many, the selling point was that a third of the money is intended for storage projects, which I think they're lying about. We have too few dams for a population of 38 million people and growing, and they are, and I've got articles on that too. However, a lot of the benefits from Prop 1 could drain away if the vote of the people isn't followed by a vote of the U.S. Supreme Court to help Californians deal with our water needs. Well, this goes to that San Joaquin stuff. Well, I don't understand how – you see how convoluted this is? I mean, it just – it's amazing to me because the Senate or the D.C. clowns were the ones who put this through and with their Agenda 21 crap. Here it says –
and it helps them gain control over the water.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. This
we
is
see that across the nation. There was a guy in Illinois who's had a well for 50 years where he's lived, and they came out and put a meter on it. Now he has to start paying for his water.
I know. Okay. So it says. Then I'm just going to try to do it as quick. I don't have much time left, but. The justices will soon decide whether to accept a challenge to the destructive federal water policies, and that's federal, which I just mentioned, for the Delta smelt, which is a bunch of hokum anyway, the tiny fish in the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta area that is on the Endangered Species Act list. See, this is what they do. They use this nonsense. That act never should have been implemented in this government ever. Smelt regulations have severely hampered the intelligent development of water resources unless they're rescinded and reworked, and new dams we build in Northern California would still be forced to let millions of gallons of water flow into the ocean under the Fed smelt-inspired policy of diverting vast quantities away from human uses. This is what they're doing. In large part, the smelt is the victim of waste and industrial runoff. Federal officials, however, have focused on a different culprit. The water projects that transport millions of gallons from the north to the San Joaquin Valley and Southern California. So, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has ordered dramatic pumping cutbacks by the Central Valley Project and the State Water Project to safeguard the smelt habitat. This is what's been, it's horrible. This hasn't demonstrably helped the fish, which is, they're bait fish. The whole thing is, it's a hoax. But it has definitely hurt the economy. I know. From the outset, hundreds of thousands of acres of San Joaquin Valley farmland were fallowed. consumers in L.A., Orange, San Diego County saw water rates rise 17%. Oh, yeah, they're going up still. When the drought set in, the impact's harshness was exacerbated because of the smelt regulations, you think? There was less water in reservoirs because so much water had been sent to the ocean. For example, the wet winter of 2012-2013, the water projects declined to capture about 700,000 acre-feet of water. That's a lot. Enough for the yearly needs of 1.4 million households. These harmful effects are more than a policy argument against the smelt regulations. They're a potential legal argument. Christ, you think? When changes are ordered in the operations of a government project in order to help a protected species, the Endangered Species Act says they must be reasonable and prudent. Well, you know what? I need to take these people out and beat the you-know-what out of them. In addition, the Fish and Wildlife Services, another commie organization, regulations say such changes must be economically feasible. Ooh, God, I need to get a hold of these. The water pumping cutbacks don't meet any of these requirements. Officials ordered them without even considering the punishing impact on the economy. They don't give a rat's behind about us. As a federal judge put it when he struck down the blueprint for the pumping reductions, that blueprint was riddled with sloppy science and undirectional prescriptions that ignore California's water needs. Reviewing that decision earlier this year, a Ninth Circuit panel agreed that the regulations were drafted in a chaotic way, affecting water supply to more than 20 million consumers in Central and Southern California. So I'm just going to stop there and continue next week. I got a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm running out of time. And thank you, Bill, for coming in. Thanks, Bill Bio and Mikey B from Higher Truth. I believe tomorrow night Mikey's on again. His show was great yesterday. Yola, Nick, thanks for coming in. So anyway, these guys are talking about all these things and I can't keep up with the chat room and try to read this stuff. And Bill, thank you for calling in and be blessed. And I will not be on next week. I'm entertaining my family for the whole day. I'm going to start cooking and preparing and doing all these wonderful things for my family. But I'll try to be on your show on Tuesday because I got time for that.
Okie dokie. Everyone be blessed.
Absolutely. And Mikey B., your show's on tomorrow. I believe it's 6 o'clock my time and 9 o'clock Eastern. So that would be awesome. Very much love and be blessed to everybody. And if I have, I think I only got 2 minutes left or less. And since there's anything in here I can play. But I just love you guys. Want to say, I can't find this thing. It's a pull-down menu and it's not working. It's like, oh, no. Every time I hit something, it Blog Talk, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what I did. Okay. I think I just couldn't find my little pull-down menu. It's not working at all. Dang it. Okay. So I'm not going to play music. You guys have a good one. It won't let me do it. So I'm glad to hear that there's lots of people in your audience at your house. And like I said, Bill, Bio, and Higher Truth Radio, and Yola, be blessed and have a great time. Hopefully I'll see you Thursday night, Mikey B., and then Tuesday for you, Mr. Bill, on your show, and we will go for it. Love you guys. Have a good one. Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Yola. Thanks a lot. In fact, Mikey B., since I got a couple seconds, you had a great show last night as well. It was very good debates. I want to thank you guys. Let's see. Let me try this one.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. Mercy flows with freedom.
guys. Good night, everybody. Be blessed and Merry Christmas.
You there.